to Spain in a Lamborghini for us back and back.
Oh, hi guys. How you doing? Got great news. The Manscaped Performance Pack 4.0 is now available. Now the Performance Pack also includes the Lawnmower 4.0, so it's a fantastic bit of kit. It's for shaving your nether regions. It's got a light on it. It's safe to shave your sensitive bits. I use it, I find it fantastic. And the best thing about it is, and your missus will love this, it's waterproof, so you can do it in the shower rather than leaving all your hairs all over the floor. But I wonder how Dave's getting on with it.
Well, Matt, I'm just checking out the parcel that you get from Manscaped if you get this package on order, and there's loads in there. Obviously, we've already got the trimmer that you've mentioned, but the weed whacker as well, you get that. That is your ear and nose trimmer. Hopefully, due to my beautiful youngish looks, I won't have to use that one anytime soon. But also in the pack, you've got your crop reviver, which is your ball toner, and your crop preserver, which is your ball deodorant. This will take your personal private hygiene to another level. Trust me, your balls will thank you for that one. As well as that, you've got a pair of boxer shorts. You'll enter your size at order as well. As well as all your guards and your charging ports as well. And you get a really nice Manscaped wash bag to keep all those goodies in as well. So if you guys want to grab yourself one of these, you can get 20% off and free shipping by using the code TALKINGWOLVES at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping using the code TALKINGWOLVES. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.
Welcome back to the Talking Wolves podcast. I am your host, Matt Cooper, and we're a little bit depleted today. I'm only joined alongside Dave as a party. Dave, it's like the good old days, but how you been keeping?
I'm good, mate. I'm good, yeah. Feels weird, but we always have a good chat between the two of us. So, not saying that Finn and Jord don't add quality, but I'm sure it'll still be a good podcast nonetheless.
Yeah, Finn and Jord aren't here tonight. I believe Finn's got family commitments, and after the win at the weekend, Jord thought it was a little bit too positive for him to come on. it's just me and Dave this week. It almost reminds me of the then we did the series of transfer videos.
Yeah, I was about to say that, the transfer podcast. Yeah,
we should start that back up in the summer because that did really well.
Yeah, it was good in the summer. Yeah, we'll get on that again. I think we did like one a week, didn't we? It was really good fun.
Yeah, I think we used to record on the Friday, didn't we? It was only like half an hour, 40 minutes, but hopefully we get some juicy rumours as we hopefully solidify our Premier League status, mate, because that's when they start to flow in, isn't it?
Fingers crossed, yeah. I think it'll be a big summer as well. If Wolves do stay in the Premier League, I think Lopetegui will want his own little rebuild. So I think there'll be plenty of comings and goings.
Don't be surprised if over the next coming weeks you see stories about Wolves having a bit of a transfer kitter, purely because it's season ticket renewal time.
Oh, yeah.
Don't want to be a sceptic, but who knows?
Yeah,
who knows?
Definitely going to be the case.
Yeah, but Dave, it's so nice to be able to do a podcast after not only a win, but also a positive performance. The win at the weekend, I don't know, it felt a little bit like old Wolves, aggressive on the front foot. And I wrote this in my article for the BBC, and I believe that the cliche is hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And I think that pretty much epitomised the weekend. Wolves just wanted it more than Chelsea.
Yeah, it felt pretty, you know, when we've had wins, maybe even this season, where we've sort of almost just scraped it. It just felt quite comfortable, I thought. And we fully deserved the 3 points. And we could have added a couple of goals. I think the early part of the second half, we probably should have added another goal at least. I think Hwang was unlucky towards the end, which I'm sure we can talk about as well. But it just seemed like it was a team, an 11 out there. I think 9 out of 10 people are actually satisfied with the lineup as well for a change. It seems a pretty balanced lineup with plenty of attacking options. And I was really unsure on what to expect from Chelsea, because I actually thought they played half decent against Liverpool during the week, although it was a slightly rotated Liverpool side. And then with Frank Lampard getting announced a couple of days before, I thought this could go one or two ways, but we really did well. And it was, they've reacted massively and very positively to that Forest game, because I think we all came out of that game thinking, thank God we got a point, because we were awful. So it was a really good reaction. Being at home as well, another clean sheet. And I think it gives us some nice momentum going into next week against Brentford, who are a good team. But again, it's a match where we can get something out of, I think.
Yeah, Brentford are a good team, but no winning four for Brentford. They have played some tough teams, but you'd argue that perhaps Wolves are a more informed side. But we'll come on to that later. But Tati Gomez kept his place in the team, and Gomez, Pedence and Costa came into the starting lineup. When the team, well, I was on the way to the game. My dad said he's got to play Costa today, and I said I don't think he needs to. I'd rather play Cunha, Food and Milne. He said no, it's against his former club. And my daddy's. He loves Costa, and I think probably most blokes who support Wolves over the age of like 45, 50 love him because he's a shithouse. And he is that kind of like archetypal number nine, a bit of a lump. But I think it worked. I was saying to him, like, it's a weird one with Chelsea because obviously they've got a very good team. And Frank might galvanise them. And my dad said, I could doubt it. He's probably only been there 24 hours. And perhaps he was right, but the starting lineup, mate, I looked at that and thought, yeah, very happy with that. And I can't remember the last time that I felt like that. And I know that as football fans, we assume that a game's won or lost by the time the lineup comes out and we all get up in a flurry. But like you said there, like that lineup for me was very balanced.
Yeah, I think maybe the one player that possibly raised a few eyebrows was the inclusion of Totti again. Yeah. Although I thought he was okay at Forest. I think everyone just expected Bueno to come back in. And even the front line, you know, maybe not as attacking as it was. And no disrespect to Moutinho, because I thought he came on and had a good cameo, but probably expected him to start. So I think that's what everyone was happy with, you know, quite a energetic midfield, lots of attacking options for a change. And yeah, Diego Costa wasn't sure about, because when he played the reverse fixture at Stamford Bridge, I think you might have seen it last week.
Testimonial, weren't it? Yeah.
Exactly that, yeah. And I felt I didn't really want that again. And, you know, Chelsea fans showed their respect towards him, but I thought, and I said this in my reaction, I think you know you're not going to get 90 minutes out of Costa, but if you can get 55, 60 minutes of him giving you 100%, just chasing every lost cause, which I thought he did really well on Saturday, then great. And I think he was unlucky not to have got himself a goal. I think, you know, he forced Kepa into a half-decent save as well. But that sort of link-up play with Cunha, and being almost, you know, like you said, a bit of a shit house up there is something that we've really lacked in games this season.
He definitely puts himself about. And I think you could see Fofana and Koulibaly, who I think Koulibaly, I don't know what he's I think he's aged about 10 years overnight. He was garbage.
Yeah.
He put himself about and you could see he's making him feel a little bit uncomfortable. No Jimenez in the squad, though. Didn't feature against Forest. I don't think anyone's pressed Lopetegui for an answer on why he wasn't.
He said it was tactical, though. Apparently, again. So there was, yeah. So again, the old tactical, you know, I think he said he had 20 players available and for whatever reason, he was one that was left out. So interesting, really. I'm hoping that we start to get a much more settled squad. I know obviously Boubacar Traoré is playing for the 21s as we speak. But Jimenez out the side, I wouldn't be surprised to see him obviously let go in the summer. Aitnor, he's the one. No one's really pressed him for an answer on that. I'm assuming he's unfit or got a slight knock. But yeah, even since his admission last week, I don't think we've seen any news on that. So he's definitely not walked like the little rumour was doing on Twitter during the week. But but it's interesting. But it's good to have a big squad that's actually available, full of, you know, talented footballers at the moment.
You don't know whether Raul, after the after not being included at all at Forest, has had a moan, and Lopetegui, and again, speculating here, we don't know, Lopetegui's thought, well, I'll leave you out, because it'd be very easy for, and the same about Nori, to say, for Lopetegui to say, oh, he's got a bit of a knock, or, you know, he felt something go in the week, and it's a precaution, but by saying tactical, it means it's a drop from the squad.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a message to them, but like I said, I thought Costa did well, and for most of that game, Dave, I feel like we dominated, and I think that was down to just the kind of the dynamism and the different kind of dynamic we had in that midfield three. We all were gutted that Neves wasn't playing, and getting suspended, missing two games. But there was a few questions before about would that enable us to play in a different way? And we all know how much Ruben Neves is, how good of a player he is and how much we're going to miss him if he does move on in the summer. But it did allow us to have a lot more energy in that midfield and suffocate Chelsea.
Yeah, I think, you know, like you said, in terms of dominating the game, and some people might look at that and think, like, you know, disagree in parts, but not necessarily dominate, but I think we just got everything tactically that we did, we got absolute, you know, we got bang on. Like, even in the second half when we allowed Chelsea to have a lot more of the ball, we were, you know, defensively, we were absolutely sound and we caught them on the counter, you know, a number of times. I think Adama could have got involved, and this isn't his fault, but I think Adama could have got involved a little bit more towards the end of the game. But I think, again, with the midfield, because we were playing with an actual number 10 rather than, you know, three in the midfield, it made our midfield a little bit more open, which I think made Chelsea play a little bit more open, which helped us a little bit more, believe it or not. But I thought João Gomes and Lemina were phenomenal. You know, we've not seen enough of João Gomes. You know, he had a little cameo at Southampton where he came on and scored the goal. He's come on with a handful of minutes here and there. And Leeds, unfortunately, was his last full appearance, which, you know, we lost.
I thought he played well in that game, though.
Yeah, I've seen people give him stick for that appearance. No. But I think, again, I thought he was all right in that game, but he was fantastic against Chelsea. You look at the number of tackles and interceptions, and, you know, you could see why they gave him the nickname of the Pitbull in Brazil, because that was that type of performance I thought on Saturday. But everything tactically, even the substitutions, was bang on, I thought. And, you know, Lopetegui's had praise and he's had stick for that ever since he's joined, with the lineups, all the tactical changes made in the game. But I think he got it bang on Saturday.
And I think those tactical tweaks and changes and subs, you're judged on the end result, aren't you?
Of course.
And yeah. I think if we'd come away with a 1-1 draw and towards the end of the game, like, oh, mate, my nails are still in bits now.
I think we coped fairly well, to be fair. Like, I think obviously
we did, but just being a Wolves fan, mate. Like,
yeah. I know what you mean, though. Like, when you get to that stage, you would think it's typical Wolves, but I think even, you know, we tried to break the game down. Obviously, we had one or two players go down in stoppage time just to slow things down a little bit. But I think we coped pretty well with it, to be fair. I can't remember Jose Sa having to make, I think they had one on target, didn't they, all game? So I think, you know, we really restricted them. We played really well defensively as well.
You can see they've got quality, though, I thought, the way that they...
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Move the balls.
In the final third.
When they turn it on, yeah.
Yeah. But that's what they're missing. It's very similar to us, but I think on a much more expensive scale, I suppose, where they are lacking probably that proper number 10 to get the ball to a proper striker. And Havertz could be that number 10, but they're completely misusing him. But I think they've got some quality there. And I said it on a number of Chelsea previews and podcasts last week. I think they've got all the tools there for a decent manager just to shape up a decent squad for next season. And although they'll be disappointed not getting into Europe, next season could be a really decent transitional campaign for them.
We touched on earlier about it being almost like old school Wolves. It did remind me a little bit under Nuno's tenure, where you play on the counter-attack, you soak the pressure up, you're defensively sound, and then hit them on the counter. And I thought we were going to ruin his chances, mate, because we had two or three golden opportunities. Obviously, Wang as well was robbed of an assist. Well, that's if Sarabia would put the ball in the back of the net. But there was a couple of chances, Dave, where we hit them on the counter and the game should have been wrapped up by 55 minutes.
Yeah. I think there was the two that I clearly remember. I think there was one where we were breaking, and I don't know if it was a pass by Cunha or he was trying to lob the keeper from his own half. But yeah, the main one is when Cunha broke through, played the pass through to Nunes, and instead of just hitting it on his right foot, he's cut back in on his left. I think it was shown on like Match of the Day and everything, wasn't it? So
into two Chelsea defenders, or
yeah, like I don't quite know what he was doing there, but they're the chances that, you know, we've got to start putting away. And I think with a more confident side going forward, we would have been 2-0 up there. And then thankfully, you know, we didn't rue those chances, but it was good to see us breaking in that way. And I think the important thing for us is that we need to start getting these first half goals, because if we can go into, especially at home, if we can go into half time with a lead, that will mean these teams will come out and play a higher defensive line, like Brentford again, which we'll talk about later. They don't like having the ball. You look, they play on the counter. They have very low possession numbers. But if we can get an early goal or a first half goal against them, they're going to have to come out and attack us in the second half. And I think that will work in our favour where we can try and get them on the counter attack.
Yeah. I thought Cunha played really well as well. Mike worked his socks off. And similar to Joao Gomez, I know that Cunha came off, but energy levels for most of the game, they're electric. And you know, especially in the midfield as well, that's exactly what we need.
Yeah, we've needed that off him, and I think he showed what he can do and what his qualities are on Saturday. I think he's been, like, as you know, he's been wasted as a number nine, really. And I think he's a very talented footballer and a capable footballer, but like I think any of us, you know, the best striker in the world would struggle with the lack of service that our number nine's having at the moment. So I think with him off Costa, he was able to link the midfield to the attack, whether that was moving the ball up to Costa or moving the ball out wide, because I thought Podence and Nunes had a lot more joy as well at times and picked up a lot more spaces. And other players as well, like Totti, I think, you know, a lot of people are giving him praise, but such an unorthodox sort of type left back. It's very rare you see a left back sort of at, what, 6'3", 6'4".
No, he's like only about 6 foot, you know. 6 foot one. He's not the tallest, but he's just a, you know, he reminds me of in terms of his play, Ella Kobe.
Yeah, like, I think
pass wind, yeah. But on the recovery, physical attributes, you ain't gonna beat him.
And thankfully, and he's got a bit of pace as well. I'm not gonna say you know, he's not ultra quick, but he's got a bit of pace. And he's almost like he doesn't know what to do with the ball, but whenever he has it, it seems to work a little bit. Like at times, I think at Chelsea, he almost looked like it was Bambi on ice a little bit when he had the ball. But yeah. I thought he coped really, really well. And I think almost a little bit like Newcastle with the whole Dan Burn at left-back thing. I know he played there a little bit at Brighton as well, but it just on paper, it shouldn't work, but it does. I don't know. There could be a place for him there. And I think, you know, again, I think he'd be really unfortunate if he gets dropped on ahead of Saturday's game. I think that team probably for me should just stay unchanged.
Yeah, I think you shouldn't change a winning formula. But I think he gives you another kind of, another player on the recovery as well, because we saw against Forest, every time we were getting hit on the counter, Dawson was struggling and he switched to Gomez. And I think on the cover, like you said, he's very, very quick for his size. And mm-hmm. It gives you that opportunity maybe as a get-out-of-jail card. But
set pieces as well. We had the amount of corners we had in that first half alone was ridiculous. And I think, like, we've struggled a little bit from those, not just this year, the sort of last couple of years. But I think if you've got another player that's 6 foot plus in the box, you've got every chance of, you know, creating more danger from set pieces as well.
Definitely, definitely. And let's talk about that goal, mate. A goal worthy of winning any game.
For sure.
Perhaps it's those inner souls that he decided to give away to that young fan. But I mean, where I'm sat, I'm literally direct in line with the flight of the ball. And as soon as he left his foot, I knew it was going in.
Mm. Now, it was unbelievable. You know, when I saw his leg go back, sort of winding up for the shot, I just thought, this is going into row Z of the North Bank, isn't it? But oh my God, how wrong I was. What a finish. Just brilliant, man. He hit it bang on. Technique, power, everything. It was such a good goal. And he deserves it, to be fair. You know, we've said it from the day he joined, or from the day of his first game. There's a talented football player there. And I think he's been unlucky in certain games. He's been played out of position. I prefer him on the right. I think, you know, there was something about him on the right on Saturday where, you know, he seemed to pick up a lot more spaces, a lot more of a danger with the ball. But I think you could tell that was a big relief for him, even with his celebration, how almost aggressive he was with his celebration. But I think his passing left a little bit to be desired for still at times. But everything else, like him breaking as well, he really added something else to that game. So I really hope he can push on from here and even start adding more goals if he can.
He's an outlet though, isn't he? In terms of how resistant he is to press and his speed.
Going forward. There was a couple of times where he changed defence to attack quite quickly, yeah.
Yeah, he's good in transition. But the only and it shouldn't really be a criticism, but he was coming short for goal kicks off, having him off Sarr. And with his back to play, facing the goal, it was like turning out, and he did it in the like 86, 87th minute.
Oh, I remember.
And it, But there was one occasion where he turned out and he got away, and then the other one he didn't. But like the occasion where he turned out, he went to Salah, like, yeah, more of that, better. But I know he's so good on a turn, but it doesn't fill me with confidence, because you saw about a minute later where he nearly lost the ball and Chelsea nearly
scored. It happened against Liverpool a couple of times, didn't it? I think, where he did quite well with the away game, yeah, mainly, I'm sure. But like, you don't mind them doing it in the final third or around the middle of the pitch, but when you're in when you're defending, or you know, you're in your defensive third and you're trying to do it, all it takes is one wrong move or one tackle, and you're in a bit of trouble, and that could have so easily cost us on Saturday. Thankfully, it didn't. But yeah, I do remember that one where he probably should have done a little bit better with the ball. But overall, a much better performance from him. And yeah, I did like him on that right hand side. It was something different. I liked it.
Yeah, I thought he was excellent. You don't mind him coming short for the ball and turning out, but when you're 1-0 up at home and you're down the bottom of the league and you've got 3 minutes left to play,
yeah,
maybe just be a bit more sensible about things. But I think Dawson as well, like he got sucked in a little bit a couple of times, especially in the second half, where he'd just gone walkabout, got sucked in and turned. And I think if that was someone like Kilman or Collins or even Cody, fans would be going mad. But just something for him to improve on, I think, because there was a couple of times where he got spun, mate. It was like, it was about four seconds too late.
Yeah, the way they moved the ball, though, like in the final third, they were so quick with it. And like I said, they just missed that person to put the ball in the back of the net, don't they, Chelsea? But yeah, I thought we, thankfully, we kept most of their, you know, top players very quiet. I thought Enzo Fernandez, we kept, you know, you could see there was a quality player there, but I thought João Gomes had a fantastic game against him, and Lamina as well, before obviously he came off. I thought he managed the game quite well, being on a booking for as long as he did. So, it was a good performance throughout. You know, we can easily nitpick at certain players, but I think, you know, overall, we fully deserved that win.
Yeah, I thought Samado did well as well, going forward and defensively. But we just looked aggressive and in their faces. And we saw with Everton, who beat them recently, wasn't it? Was it Everton? When they got the point.
I was against Spurs that game, wasn't it? Last week, against Everton Spurs.
Against
Chelsea. They did get a point as well. Sorry, yeah.
They got in the faces and just, you know, they didn't like it. Mm. And I think that was the blueprint for beating Chelsea. And fair play to Lopetegui and his staff. They got it right down to a T. But not the only ones who got it right for the Betmate pot, mate. Apart from myself, everyone in the Talking Wolves clan finished in the paid places. So Dave came ninth. Mate, you've been doing well recently, haven't you?
Yeah, as long as you can make profit on the pot. So, like, if you enter for £5, if I'm breaking even or getting more, then happy days. So, yeah, £7.80, happy days.
Yeah, you came ninth, winning £7.80. Finn came 16th, winning £4.05. And Jord came 25th, winning £1.50. But big congratulations to Tricky91, who won £90 in the Saturday 3 p.m. pot. That was £3 in for your chance to win a share of £300. And yeah, Tricky91, congratulations, mate. Might not be a Wolves fan, but if you are a Wolves fan and you listen to the pod, then a big well done. Unfortunately, I was well out of it. but it's when Wolves win, it shrinks into insignificance. But
exactly,
you know, at least some of the Talking Wolves boys took some of the prize money home. But the games at Molineux were coming thick and fast. Day obviously move on to Brentford on Saturday again, another home fixture. It's a tough game. But Brentford haven't got a winning four, but they have played some good sides. But is it winnable?
I think it's winnable. I think we could definitely get something out of the game. I think if we, like we did on Saturday against Chelsea, just focus on ourselves, because Thomas Frank is a little bit of a shithouse. I think he'll try and wind Lopetegui up if he knows what he's like, a little bit like Steve Cooper tried to do last week. I think we just focus on ourselves. We should be absolutely fine. Like I said earlier, I think, you know, they don't have huge amounts of the ball, Brentford, but what they will do is they're ultra efficient on the counter-attack. They're very dangerous from set pieces, which we've seen before as well. We saw that earlier this season and last season as well. So corners and sort of wide free kicks, they're very decent from. And Tony as well, you give him any sort of sniff and he's going to... you know, test the goalkeeper or put the ball in the back of the net. So they've done really well this season, to be fair. Even, I think they were, before this little spell they're on, they were unbeaten in ages. They had a really good unbeaten run. And, you know, he's done a great job there, Thomas Frank. But it was funny to see his comments about Newcastle's dark arts over the weekend, how the FA have got to do something about these teams and the dark arts. And I thought, oh, my word. With the way they, you know, when they came to Molineux last season, that was hilarious to see him come out with that comment. But tough team, but I think definitely Wolves can get something out of the match.
It's a bit of a wanker, isn't he, Thomas Frank?
I've still got the gif saved when he's like tapping his wrist. Yeah. Still got it on my phone somewhere.
He's done a brilliant job there, though.
Yeah.
No, especially when they're like losing at Ericsson as well, because he was class for them the second half of last season.
Yeah, they got this sort of, it's almost a bit like us in the old Portuguese connection, isn't it? They've got this like Danish connection, which they've signed some really top players.
Club, though, aren't they? I think that they're Scandinavian.
Yeah, yeah. But it'll be interesting this summer if they can keep hold on to Tony, because you could see a couple of the big sides maybe sniffing around him, but maybe not with what's been going on behind the scenes with him this season. But, you know, they're doing really, really well.
Any changes to the lineup, mate, going into this?
Like I said earlier, I'll probably go unchanged. I thought, obviously, still with no Neves. I think the players that came off the bench are good impact subs for Wolves. I think Moutinho is great to sort of help see the game out and just give you that energy for 20 minutes, because it's what he did at Spurs when we beat them at home. He did the same against Chelsea, just almost forced them into errors. The only change I could maybe see would be Hwang, possibly for Pedence. If Hwang's sort of up to fitness, but I'd probably just keep it as it is, to be honest. I think keep it as it is and try and, like I said, try and at least get into half-time level or even a goal up. I think that would play into our hands. But we've got, I think, 4 clean sheets from 5 at home as well. So defensively, we've been pretty good at home. It's just up to us to try and get the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah, definitely. Like I said, Brentford, no winning in 4. But have played some tough teams along the way. They are a big side as well, though, Dave. Would you? How do you try and combat that? You obviously got Totti at left back, who probably is going to stay there.
Yeah,
Totti, Dawson, Kilman. Do you think that's enough from set pieces, or do you chuck big Boubacar Traore into the midfield?
Yeah, obviously, look, like we said, he's playing in the 21s today, but I don't know. I think he might be someone.
Diego Costa probably gives you enough if you start him.
Yeah, I think Diego Costa, Totti, as long as Diego Costa doesn't headbutt somebody again like he did the last time he played Brentford. But yeah, you got Totti, Dawson, Kilman. I think Lamina's obviously got a little bit of height there as well. But that's what they are dangerous at. So we've just got to watch that, work on that, and we should be sound. I'm just looking at their fixtures now. I know you said tough teams there. I suppose Brentford are a good side, but they dropped points against Leicester as well. Lost to Everton a few weeks ago. So I think they're there to be, you know, especially with them coming to Molineux. I think it's definitely a game. And look, if we can get 3 points here, that would be absolutely massive towards our push for survival. And I think almost have one hand on a place in the Premier League again next season.
I think over the next 2, maybe 3 games, we'll start to see a bit more of a chasm between like 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, and then I think it'll split and it'll almost be 16th down to, well, 19th, because I think Southampton are done for. I think they'll be battling it out. Hopefully Wolves are part of that, those upper echelons, rather than the teams in the lower mix.
Yeah.
But who do you see going down, mate? Because for me, it changes every single week. I'd have said Leeds are high and dry, then they got absolutely pumped at the weekend.
That's why I'm like, even on Saturday after the game, I was trying to sort of stay pretty level-headed, because it was absolutely massive win for us. But you look at the table, and another, like, for argument's sake, next week if we drop points and then the other teams win, we're back to square one again. So I think it's just trying to get that little bit of consistency in regards to results. Like you said, I think Southampton are done for. They're really struggling to perform. Leicester could be one, because obviously we've got them in a couple of weeks. If we get something against Brentford and then can beat Leicester, I think one will be safe. Or not quite mathematically, but we'd be in a great position. I think Leicester, depending on their result next week, so they've got Man City next week and then us. So that could be 2 losses on the bounce of them, obviously, if we win. But then they do have Everton and who did I just say? They're playing someone else down there, Everton and Leeds. So it's going to be really interesting. I think Southampton for sure. In a dream world, it'd be Forest and Leeds. Honestly, right now, I would love it so much if Leeds and Forest went down. You would not see me for six, like the whole of pre-season. I'd be just partying. I would love life.
That Leeds fan channel. Oh, I can't remember what they're called, but
the swear every ball, time mate. They're every living rent free in my head. That's why I fucking I'm living rent free in their head. Sorry, yeah.
Every time we played and they clip up Talking Wolves and they just do a podcast dedicated, and they do it with every other team. A podcast dedicated to like our clips and like dissecting things we said and just taking the piss. So if they do go down, I think Dave and I and the rest of the Talking Wolves team will have a bit of fun. We'll release something.
Yeah, Leeds United propaganda, probably. That's what they call it, propaganda. It'd be brilliant. And the whole Forest thing would be brilliant. Because I the whole timeline, as soon as that final whistle goes, that whole time I would be Morgan Gibbs-White or Mateus Nunes with the fingers in the air. Or Daniel Podence, seeing as he did it as well. So
yeah, it's going to be fun if them two go down. Just looking at Forest fixtures though, mate, like they've got it tough. They've got to play United on Sunday. Then they go to Anfield. Then they got Brighton at home. Then they play Brentford. Then they got Southampton. Then they got Chelsea. Then they got Arsenal. And then they've got Palace.
They could be down by the start of May, you know. Four games there now on the bounce side. I don't mean they'll get anything out of.
So give me your three teams now. Who goes down?
Southampton.
So I've had Bournemouth as a dead cert, but they're pulling it out of the bag. They're
grinding out results, aren't they? Southampton. Forest and Leeds. It could easily be Leicester, mate, as well. I think Leicester are in a bit of trouble.
I think Dean Smith's a very good appointment, though, if it happens until the end of the season. I like Dean. I think he's a good manager. But
their goal difference is all right as well, Leicester, to be fair. So that might be what keeps them up. They've got some very, very good footballers as well. So I'd love Leeds to go down there. They were awful yesterday. So,
I think Southampton, Forest.
Oh, hope Forest, man. What a day, man.
I think either Leeds or Leicester, because Leicester are hopeless at the minute.
Palace will stay up regardless, because somehow Hodgson has just got them attacking like unbelievably. Leeds were awful defensively, by the way. You got us, let's say we stay up.
Leeds have beat us twice this season.
All right, don't mention it. West Ham should be okay.
Got a game in hand as well.
Bournemouth, I don't know how they've done it, but should be all right. Because they're all right. I was going to say all right going forward, but they ain't scored many more than us. But their form's actually all right, to be fair to them. Yeah, I think Everton going to be all right. I think it's out of Leeds, Forest and Leicester for the last two. But if you include Southampton as well.
Why do you think Everton will be all right?
To be fair, I'll say that. Look at their form.
It's awful. One winning draw. Say that.
They'll be all right. I think every time I watch them, they just seem to, like, even if they go behind, Dyche seems to get something out of them. So I think they should be okay. Let me quick look at their. They've got a lot of games of teams around them as well. So they've got Fulham, which I think is winnable for them at Goodison. Then Palace, Leicester, they've still got to play. I say that. They haven't got. And they've got us and Bournemouth last two. That could be pivotal for them.
What you don't want is that game on the 20th of May at Molineux between Wolves and Everton where we've both got something to play for.
Yeah. I want to be by the game on the 8th of May. I want us to be safe mathematically.
6th of May.
Sorry. I'm looking at Everton fixtures.
We've got Villa on the 6th of May. Sorry. It's my birthday. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So on the 6th. Dude, remember we used to stay up in the Prem? We do a pitch invasion. Back in the McCarthy days.
Yeah.
You'd snow like two games to do a pitch invasion. Yeah.
Mate, it wouldn't surprise me if they did it this season.
Yeah, imagine.
I hope not.
We won't.
So we're currently on 31 points. And from speaking with people at Wolves, I think 34, 35 is enough.
No.
How many do you... How many do you need... 38 was enough last year.
I think you need at least 36 this year. 36 and you sound.
Looking at the last few years, it was 38 points and 39 points and 35 points. And then in 18-19, it was 36 points.
I think 36 will be enough this year. like I said, by Leicester, we could have that wrapped up.
That's what, two more wins in the next eight? Yeah. Do you think it's doable?
Oh, it's easily doable. Yeah.
Even with 36, Tom, just...
No, you just want to carry on going. Like we need to be going on, you know, say you get worst case scenario, draw at Brentford. You beat Leicester. Palace is a tough game, but at home you could get something out of them. See, by the end of this month, we could be all right. Because the same against Villa. Villa will come to Molineux. And although we do all right at Molineux against Villa, but I ideally want to be in a position where we're absolutely sound at that point, because you don't really want to be needing, still desperate for points when with Villa on good form.
No, that's my birthday as well. So I would like the pressure to be off so I can enjoy the day.
It's a tough end to the season for us. So the earlier we get it done, the better, really.
The Arsenal game at the end of the season scares me. If we have got something to play for.
Yeah, as long as we stay up. Someone offers me 20 grand for my ticket. I'm out in Dubai, the Maldives, living life. So
I do. The worst case scenario for me is if we get relegated on the last day and Arsenal win the title, because them lot are insufferable.
Oh, they were horrible. When was it? Last season? Yeah, it was. When they beat us at Emirates, that was horrific. Horrible people, man.
So that's something that I don't want to happen. But I don't. It changes like every single week, though, doesn't it? About being like last week, I was saying like I don't see anything in this team to suggest that we deserve to stop up, and then they go and turn that performance against Chelsea.
Yeah, I know.
So inconsistent.
Yeah, that's why hopefully we keep the same team, bit of consistency in the squad. Oh, then we're absolutely sound.
Absolutely. Right then, bet mate game, mate. Free to enter pot this week. Absolutely unbelievable. So £50 in free bets is up for grabs. So if you've never signed up to BetMate or never played BetMate, this is your chance to do it now using the link in the description. Free to enter, £50 in free bets up for grabs. And it's the Wolves v Brentford pot, but you need to use pot code TW-3FREE. So that's TW-FREE. Like I said, free to enter, £50 in free bets. And if you've wondered, maybe when do I have a go on bet, mate? If you've not already done it, now's your chance because it's risk-free. Dave, do you want to talk me through your team?
Yeah, you could tell the optimism and confidence.
Every time we win a game, it's fully Wolves, same as mine.
Yeah, so I've gone with Jose Sa in goal. Like I said, four clean sheets in his last five home games. So that bodes pretty well for Sarr. And I think he will, you know, from the set pieces and so on, he still have saves to make. I've gone with Totti and Semedo. So potentially the two fullbacks for the game. I think Totti, both players, you know, Totti and Semedo are going to have those tackles and interceptions. João Gomes and Nunes is my midfield too. Again, with Nunes hopefully improving a little bit, and João Gomes with the whole tackles and interceptions, he's down as my captain. And then I've gone with Ivan Toney up front with Matheus Cunha as well. Toney, I think, you know, he's the bagsman for Brentford. And Cunha, I think he's due another goal very soon. So that's my side.
I love it, mate. I've gone very Wolves heavy as well. However, there's one more inclusion of a Brentford player. So I've gone Jose Sa in goal. I've gone Craig Dawson at the back because I think he's due another goal. And Ethan Pinnock, who I like. But, mate, I think we were talking about it on the pod like a few weeks ago. I cannot believe that Ethan Pinnock is 29.
Yeah, I know.
Nearly 30.
I know.
I thought he was still like 22, 23.
I know.
Well, who was calling for him to play for England? Was it George?
Well, it was George. He was Jamaican.
Yeah, Jamaican. We got a bit of the West Moors about him.
Yeah.
I've gone with Captain João Gomes in the middle, all action. And I've gone Vice Captain Matheus Nunes. Hopefully he can build on the goal he scored at the weekend. Then up top, I've gone with Ivan Toney, like you said there, bagsman, penalty taker, although he missed and scored on at the weekend. Mm-hmm. If it's on the spot, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion. I've gone with Hwang Hee-chan. I've just got a feeling, and Lopetegui likes Hwang, doesn't he? And he's almost been a bit of a redemption arc on the podcast for him, because George slates him, but now has almost kind of warmed to him a little bit. I thought he did well when he come on, has real energy. Good defensively too, and I've got a feeling that we might see him from the start, so that's why I've included him. And he's good on interceptions too, for that reason.
Yeah, we didn't mention the Hwang thing. Sorry, at the end of the Chelsea game, either, did we? Where?
Oh, mate, he's just too strong for Koulibaly, and he's
I don't even think it's a foul. And obviously, ball comes over, Koulibaly goes down. The Lino who stood right next to it doesn't give it. And then it's a good pass to Sarabia, and it would have been 2-0 there. And then it's funny as well, right at the final whistle, the ball came straight to him and he's through on goal. Obviously, I wasn't bothered at that point because the final whistle had gone, but someone had played the ball to him and he fell to him right, and he was through on goal as well. But yeah, I think it wouldn't surprise me if he gets a start Saturday, but I think it should be unchanged, but it'd be Huang for Bedens, I think, if anything.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so free to enter for this week's pot. £50 in free bets is up for grabs. So, like I said, if you've not played BetMate before and you've listened and thought, I don't know what it is, make sure you sign up and have a go. This is your chance to get yourselves familiar with it. And it's Wolves versus Brentford. Use pot code TW-FREE. So that's TW-3. And of course, with all that, please gamble aware. Now then, Dave, moving on to some of the questions. So thanks for those who had sent in their questions via Twitter. Starting with Andy Willis. So Andy's actually asked two questions. And we know what? We're going to let him have two questions because we know it's like that. If we'd have lost, maybe not. But we're feeling generous. So Andy Willis has asked, what remaining fixture do you reckon we'll secure our Premier League place? So Andy thinks we're stopping up. But out of the next eight, when do we seal our Premier League survival?
Mathematically.
Yeah.
Either Palace or Brighton, I hope. Like I said,
fucking
I hope.
Hell, mate, that's three games.
Yeah, but that.
If I ain't going to. Not mathematically, not in three games. You'd have to win like, all three.
Yeah, but I want it done by before Villa. Let's say. Let's say the Villa game then. I think the Villa. I can picture that at Villa. Yeah, we're all. We'd like celebrating a 1-1 draw with Villa or something. Yeah.
If we were to wrap it up by Palace, we'd have to win the next three, so that'd take us to 39.
Yeah, you're safe, surely.
Forest are on 27. Is it mathematically possible? It's still mathematically possible for us to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's still five games left. So it's still, I don't think mathematically possible until after the United game with two games left.
Flipping heck. Yeah, I suppose.
Mathematically, anyway.
Yeah.
Obviously, you'll have a thing.
All but safe, I'd say, by the end of the Villa game. Yeah.
Yeah. I think if we are going to be safe, it's going to be the United game.
Mm.
Mathematically, anyway. Because how much daylight have we got between 4 points? So. Yeah. Yeah, I'd say in the United game. Andy's also asked, what is your favourite non-current Premier League stadium? I had a look through the Championship earlier. I suppose.
I'd say non-current, yeah.
Unless you want to go further afield.
See, Braga was nice, but completely ruined by the weather and the police.
It was a shit tip, mate.
Yeah. I did loads of the League One ones, to be fair. You know, it's a nice ground, a half decent ground, but obviously the club that don't have a very good reputation. MK Dons is actually all right.
Yeah.
MK Dons. I don't really have a favourite as such. I just go there and either end up very happy or very depressed, depending on the situation. I don't really remember too much.
Yeah, I think most of the experience are done on how well the team's done. Just having a look now, so in the Championship, I don't like fucking Burnley. I know they're coming.
I've never
up,
done
but
this one.
It's an awful away day. Sunderland, nice ground, very far.
Yeah.
Birmingham City, St Andrews, absolute shit tip, but seem to do very well there. Right, and it's only around the corner, and you can drink in town and you're all right. Where else is that? Preston, I actually don't mind Preston. I used to live
Preston a couple of times.
I used to live about 30, 40 minutes away from it on the train. So, and you can have a drink in Preston before.
It's like a pretty old, like nice sort of old school. And the way end, if it's still the same, it's massive there. You have like the full one end behind the goal, if I remember rightly.
Yeah, you do. You get the cup behind
League
the goal.
League One, we played him on the opening game, I think.
0-0.
They just signed Kevin Davis, didn't they?
Huddersfield. Yeah, Kevin Davis. Not for me. I Huddersfield is horrible after the last
one
game.
Good win and one bad, yeah, bad one good day.
I remember the four, day. Was 4-1. It 4-1 or 4-0? Yeah,
4-1 under Kenny Jackett, wasn't it? Was it? Yeah, it was. Van La Parra, Dicko, Afobe, Sacco, yeah.
Yeah. A lot of will probably say Blackpool. A lot of people listening to this will probably say Blackpool. I've not done Blackpool, but it's a weekend away, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's cheap. So I'm gonna say if I was pressed, I would say Birmingham City just because of proximity and success. But it's a shithole and the fans are horrible. So that's a good question. I don't really know. Charlie has asked, if Costa puts in the same sort of performance as he did on Saturday up until the end of the season, would he be worth giving another year, or would you cut ties and thank him for his service? I think he's moved all his family across, hasn't he? I know where he was in Brazil, it wasn't the most safest of places.
I knew they were living in Spain, or he wanted to move them back to Europe, so I don't know if they're living in England. I probably wouldn't, to be honest. I'd probably just let him go. I think apparently there are clubs interested in him, like in America and across Europe. But yeah, I probably wouldn't sign him to another deal.
He put a picture of his kids up earlier on his story, and it didn't look like Spain. It looked like England.
Like Technopole.
Yeah. There's a grillet behind him, I think. A chicken wing.
We need to get them to sponsor. I swear they get one mention a week on our podcast, Grill It. We really need to get them to sponsor us, really.
Even just like a free meal a month would be fantastic. Can we take that? Because all we do is you wax lyrical about them. It's all you go on about.
I've had one a week on average the last few weeks. So, yeah.
What do you go to order from Grill It? It's not one of the questions, but it's.
I have all sorts. Whenever, like, I'll go with Finn every now and then. We have like you have a wrap, but it's like in a proper, it's in like a pita. So it's a really chunky wrap and massive pieces of chicken. But I had a pizza from there last week, to be fair. So
good.
I have all sorts. Yeah, it's a nice one. And I had a pizza last Tuesday. And I had a milkshake from there this weekend. Just a milkshake. So
catch the 5K game well then.
Yes, mate. It's like, I'm obviously not doing it the right way. I'm smashing the jogs. But like today, I did the best jog I've ever done. And then I had a McDonald's after it. So I'm sort of defeating the object, really.
Do you not think I did couch to 5K before, didn't have glass knees. And like, you're doing all right. Then the one week it does change and you think, fucking hell, there's too much of a step.
You know what? To be fair, I don't eat heavily before a jog. Like if I know I'm jogging that day, but like sometimes like it's my breathing and stuff throughout the day can like change. On like Saturday, it was like a pretty straightforward jog and I struggled. And today was my longest jog. It was 25 minutes straight and I smashed it.
Because you smoke 40 a day.
Yeah, that's it, mate. Exactly.
It's too many elf bars and geek bars, isn't it?
No chance.
The real pandemic.
Yeah.
Not for you, are they, then? No. Not for me either. But no. Not good at all. I'd probably fuck you off, to be fair. I probably wouldn't keep Costa. Would you say the experiment's failed or just not succeeded?
I wouldn't say failed. I think maybe failed's a bit harsh because I don't think he was ever going to come here and score 20 goals a season. But and I think he was sort of unlucky in a sense because Bruno Lage was the one that signed him, and Lage was gone within 2 weeks after he'd signed. So his whole situation at the club could have been so different. But you don't know. There's what, 5, 6, 7 games left this season. You don't know. And I thought he was very close to grabbing his first goal on Saturday. So fingers crossed it falls through. I want him to score at least one goal before he leaves the club.
His finishing ability seems to have been like zapped out of him.
Yeah. His effort, it was a good save, to be fair, on Saturday. He got himself in a good place, yeah.
Adrian has asked, if Neto continues to be poor when given his chance, do you loan him out next season, such as Fabio Silva this season? To be fair to Neto, though, he's been playing in his wrong position.
He's not really had a chance yet since he's come back. I know he's had like cameos here and there, but
he's no good on the right.
He's been in and out in the squad. Yeah, he needs to play on the left.
Do you know what? That game at the weekend would have been perfect for him in the second half.
He didn't come on, did he?
In terms of, I know Adama's more of a threat with pace, but very, very direct, isn't he, Neto? And was...
I think if he got if we got a second goal, we probably would have seen Neto come on. We'll wait and see. I'm sure next few weeks we'll see him come on a little bit more.
Would you loan him out next season?
I don't think he's as good as we think he is at the moment. I think he's a very good player, but probably not the level that we want him to be. I don't know where you'd loan him to, though. It's got to be a top-level side, maybe in Spain or top end of Portugal again. I don't know. But I think he's too valuable to loan out.
Anderlecht and then maybe a little stint at PSV.
No. I probably wouldn't, to be honest. I'd probably keep hold of him.
I wouldn't. I'd keep hold of him as well because Traore would be going and potentially Pedence with 1 year left on his deal. So you're already a little bit light there. Saying that, like we've got about 80 wingers, which you can Who's the lad at Barcelona that we linked with today, Dave? I can't remember his name though.
Ezzy Abdi,
yeah.
Yeah, he's got like a really long name, but that's his nickname. We've been linked to him loads of walls, yeah. And today it was just another story, but it's another one with this whole Wolves Barcelona link. So we'll wait and see.
I'd keep Neto. Cam's asked, what do you think of the old gold pack flags? Do you think they've helped add to the atmosphere? And would you like to see their presence around the ground? I've got nothing against this. I think it's if anyone wants to try and improve the atmosphere at Molineux, then I'm fully behind it. I know the club are as well, and the club are supporting it financially too, which, you know, hats off to the club. But I think it needs to be amplified a bit more. I'd love to see a TIFO or something like that. The flags need to be a little bit bigger, but you know what? Fair play to them for having a go because it needs to improve. The biggest driver of that is performances on the pitch, but
yeah. I think the intentions are good, the right intentions. I think I don't really see it because I'm looking at the pitch and all the flags are sort of to my left where I stand in the south bank. But I think the intentions are right and they can get the foundations down for it this season. I think a TIFO or something like that would be good.
Especially against the game a lot. Say if you've got something to play for against Everton, for example, that game, big TIFO. Would you be, it's very tin pot in some people's eyes, but would you be against a drum?
No, I think, again, not every single game, but maybe once a month or once every couple of months. Because you could easily get Punjabi Wolves involved in something like that as well. On the doll, yeah. But
On the doll, not the doll.
Yeah, not on the doll, yeah. But you know those flags, you're meant to keep them by your seat, aren't you, after you use them?
Everyone's nicking them.
Yeah, I saw some fucking chief walk out of sat, but he's like looking around as if like trying to show off. I was like, mate, you're just a bell. Like, why have you taken it? Because all that's going to do is like sit in the corner of his bedroom. He gets home, 50, from Bilston. Sorry, Bilston. Bilstonites again. Sat in the corner of his room collecting dust. Like when he's not going to wave that around his house, is he? He'll put it on the top of his roof. Fucking leaving the ground.
Yeah, I'd love a TIFO though. I don't know what it would be. Even if it's just like out of darkness, come with light.
What's that? Remember, was it Dortmund? How did they do that one when it changed? Remember the guy with the binoculars?
Yeah.
Like, didn't want to imagine that, like a wolf somehow, and like he opens his mouth and shows his teeth or something like that. That'd be class, that would.
I don't know. I'm just going to try and have a quick look at it now. But it's budget, isn't it? And the club are paying for it. The one at Dortmund is they've basically got it, the TIFO, attached to the top of the roof and it's just like pulled up.
Oh, is that all it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But. It looks unbelievable. Something like that would be great. Again, it's if you have something like Out of Darkness come with light or something like that, then it can be reused, can't it? If you have like a particular player on there,
with the big Chaucer shirt that used to go across, the smell of Michael McIndoe's fucking right toe or something like that.
That's one of Jules' old shirts, that is.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm only joking, George. I am actually larger than George. It's actually one of my old shirts. Oh, God. Yeah, I remember that. Remember the old shirt? Yeah, it used to stink, didn't it?
Yeah. They had the Hakimi one for a bit as well.
Yeah.
Just stink. That one was all beer, man. I don't know how they managed it. So.
I mean, you can't exactly put it in the wash, though, can you?
Yeah.
Stick it on a 30 wash.
Dunk it in the river and then use one of them wind turbine things and hang it up, you know.
No, I think a tifo would work really well.
Yeah.
And even a drum. I think people need to be a bit open-minded to it, because they'll try it and it might not work, but at least to say they've tried it. With the drum, it might be tin pop, but you might find that it's easier to get everyone in rhythm for
the same thing. And if it's not for you, then like the flag thing, if you think, just let the other people enjoy the flags, then because you have to sign up for it, don't you? Or you have to say you're interested in waving the flag.
Yeah.
Like if you don't want to wave it or you're not interested, just don't. You know, let other people do it instead. At least the club are trying. That's what I said on the preview as well, and I put a tweet out on Twitter. I says people are moaning about the atmosphere, but just stood there with both their lips together during the match and not singing or saying a word. So I'm glad that the atmosphere was a lot better as well on Saturday. So we all look for it a bit more, regardless of what chants were or weren't sang, which we won't expect to speak.
Let's not go on to that. Ashley Cole has asked, and I don't think it's former Chelsea fullback.
Lampard's an assistant.
Yeah. He's got all the old boys in. I know it's only been one game, but after seeing Lamina and Gomez on Saturday, has it eased your stress about losing Neves? There's a lot of questions on this, to be fair. I did think it may allow us to play in more of a different way, maybe more on the front foot, but I think Neves in any teams will be a massive loss, but João Gomez, mate, he's absolutely everywhere. He's just so good to watch, his energy levels. But for me, he's still going to be a massive loss. And perhaps in different games, you may feel that a little bit more.
Yeah, I think the one of the strengths of Neves is almost that he will control the game for you, or try and control the game for you, dictate the tempo of the game. And I think the players that we've got in Lamida and Gomez probably won't do that. But I felt on Saturday, especially, it allowed us to be a little bit more expansive and quicker in the counters and so on. Like if we tried to play that way on Saturday with Neves in the squad, I don't think we would have probably got some of their moves off as quick as we did. So I think there's going to be pros and cons to it. You know, Neves is going to be a huge, huge loss if he leaves the club. Obviously, I'd love for him to sign a new contract, but I think Saturday, and if we can get something against Brentford this Saturday, I think it will just show that we should be okay, you know, with or without him.
Andrew Hadfield has asked, is it me or did it seem there was a lot less whinging and moaning at the weekend? They just played hard from start to finish.
I thought there was actually a half decent officiating display as well, bar the whole Huang thing towards the end. But I thought Peter Banks did fairly well. And you know what? This is another thing with João Gomez. He got away with a couple of early fouls without picking up a bucket. And you know what, though, I said to the guy next to me, I said, it's almost like players like Rodri do that a lot in games. And if you've got a defensive midfielder that can somehow, and I don't know how they do it, but somehow get through games whilst conceding a few fouls and not picking up bookings, that is a very, very good player to have in your team. But yeah, I thought Peter Banks did quite well, you know, managed the game fairly well. And did the business. And I think that helps, obviously, having a heart. Luckily for us, a lot of the officiating controversy was elsewhere this week in the Prem. But it's what happens when you let your football do the talking. Just focus on ourselves and we'll be absolutely sound.
I think the demeanour and how you are with the referee also helps your case as well. Like someone like Neves, he's constantly in the face, constantly moaning. Whereas João Gomez, when he goes through something, he's breaks the player's hand, helps him up. And I think that maybe buys you another couple more fouls just to the ref, Whereas Neves, someone like Neves moans quite a lot. I think that probably helps your case as well. Rodri's the same.
Yeah, definitely. But I saw a couple of people moaning that Gallagher did get sent off towards the end. But I think that would have been just compiled the misery on for Chelsea. Like that's half decent refereeing for me. If they know 95th minute, there's no point in sending him off. I don't think it was a second yellow anyway for the tackle they're on about.
Maybe. Amar's Music Show has asked, after rumours of the Premier League warming to the idea of having a subscription service for games instead of Sky, etc., how much would you be willing to pay for such a service? Well, I already have such service, which I won't expand on, but I'd probably, if it was like almost like Netflix style quality or Amazon Prime, where you just go across and select it and you can watch it, I'd probably pay about £25 a month. But you don't.
Depends on the features. I think if you can
If they it was just enough, games, yeah.
If it's games and then possibly with the option of watching them back or watching like a highlight show type thing, about 30 quid, I think, would be acceptable. But the thing is, I think if you say 25, 30 quid, a lot of people would go for it. But yeah, that would be like the death of places like Sky Sports and stuff, really. So very interesting to see how the Premier League approach that.
How much is Sky a month? No.
You're talking 35, 40 quid, I think. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. To be fair, I don't, if I ever want to watch football, I just log into my mate Sky Girl. I don't pay for any subscription stuff, really.
It depends what the Premier League are offering as well, because if it's just games, like a lot of the streams that I get, you don't really get much analysis before or after. It's just the game. Whereas if there was something like dedicated to Wolves as a club, and it was almost like a Premier League channel where you had features on Wolves and stuff, then probably like 25 quid. But if it was just games, then maybe just
imagine if it had
quid.
Like a history of like a backlog of all the matches as well, like you could just watch any time.
Yeah,
that would be mad.
They'd be able to do that because they own all the image rights for it.
Yeah,
broadcast rights. So
who knows?
Yeah, I don't think it'll ever happen.
No.
And again, it's just like infrastructure. You need to do something like that as well.
I think they talk about like stuff like biases and stuff like that as well. It'd be very hard for the Premier League, I think, to have pundits and stuff on because they're representing the Premier League rather than representing Sky Sports or BT Sport. So I think with stuff like that, it'd be quite difficult to do. I'll be very intrigued to see how they do it if it ever comes to fruition, but I don't know.
It'd be interesting how they distributed the broadcast rights revenue as well, because
you know, if 3 p.m. blackout. They'd get rid of
it. Yeah, but you know, if the Premier League properly got their hands on it and weren't outsourcing it to the likes of BT and what, they'll probably distribute the revenue in like more, the big clubs get more. I know they do the merit-based payments at the end of the season, but it's like a million between each place. But you'd probably end up with like, you know, you're getting like 200 million and Wolves getting like 40 million.
Yeah.
So I'd want it to be fair. Final question, Dave. Craig Hughes has asked, best order from McDonald's? Go.
I'd eat a lot. To be fair, I had one earlier. I tend to go with garlic mayo chicken wrap, to be fair, with your chips, and depends on the mood. I mean, normally a Coca-Cola or if not a milkshake. Like today I had a banana milkshake.
Oh, fucking rough that is.
And a large fries and that garlic mayo wrap, and then I had a double cheeseburger as well. So
the I'll double cheeseburger really. is the goat on the menu. I don't care what anyone says.
I'll eat most. I can have not often, but a Big Mac, you know, anything really.
What's your thoughts on chicken selects?
I don't dislike them. They're quite nice. Basically, the wrap is like a wrap.
You've got the chicken selection, isn't it? Yeah. Do you like, I love that sour cream and chive dip. They do.
Yeah, yeah, that's nice. Mozzarella dippers. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. You know what? I can take or leave Mackies. I do enjoy it, but I don't feel that it fills me up really.
Before like grill it and stuff, if I was ever hungry or wanted takeaway or like a quick bite to eat, it would always be McDonald's. But to be fair, very rare. Like this one I had today is probably the first I reckon I've had in at least 3, 4, 5 months. A good few months.
I had a McDonald's breakfast Friday morning, but that's
because I had one at Southampton, didn't I? I had a McDonald's breakfast on the way to Southampton. When was that? Still probably over a month and a half, 2 months ago, isn't it?
I tend to go for like the promotional burger because they're a little bit more hefty, aren't they? Whatever they are at the time, large meal. And
they've got the whole deal. You know the Monopoly where you normally peel the sticker off. They've got it on the drink at the moment.
Yeah.
Lib's brother got one and he peeled it off and he won a McPlant. Mate, you'd be absolutely livid, wouldn't you? A McPlant.
McSteve.
Yeah.
A McRobert.
Yeah.
A McPlant. Yeah, I bet they're all right, though. So they've currently got the steakhouse stack at the minute. So I tend to get a large meal with a promotional burger. Then on the side, depending on what the promotional burger is, if the promotional burger's chicken, I'll have a double cheeseburger on the side. The promotional burger's beef, I'll have a chicken mayo on the side. But the chicken mayo, I add a slice of cheese on it. And if you're going to go to Mackey's this week, have a chicken mayo and I'd ask for an extra slice of cheese and thank me later.
Sounds good. Because it is. You ever had a filet-o-fish?
Yeah, I have. They're all right. Years ago.
It's something Liborders quite often. I've never read it.
Fucking weird, your missus is.
I know.
Breakfast at Mackey's. It's always been good, man. I love it.
I always go for a double sausage and egg muffin.
Oh, superb, mate. Yeah. Extra hash brown as well.
Yeah. This is a proper throwback. I'm talking maybe like 15 years plus at McDonald's. I used to do deli sandwich. They are unbelievable. Mm. So like a big, it was like a long, almost baguette type thing. And they used to have grilled or
oh yeah, yeah, chicken yeah, on there.
That was well nice. They probably do it worldwide still somewhere. They were nice, man.
Yeah, 2005 it launched.
Oh, what a shame was that? Yeah. 12, 13 years, yeah.
Do you remember like the McRib as well?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure they bring that out every now and then.
Oh, it was fucking awful.
Oh,
because they stopped doing Sundays as well, haven't they?
I was gonna say shut on a Sunday. No, they don't do them no more.
Fucking dickhead. they don't do toys in the Happy Meal either. I don't think anymore. Which is a.
Well, do you order them often? Do you?
Gonna say,
you know what? At work we've got a toy box and half of it is full of like McDonald's toys from like 20 years ago.
Like toy stores. Toy box at work.
Oh, if we're dealing with a customer and they got kids, they just play in the toy box. Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah. Tell you what else that they used to do that was unreal. They used to do the breakfast bagel.
Yeah.
Stop doing that.
Mm.
So they need to bring that back. Ronald, if you're listening, mate, if you are a
big fan of the podcast, Ronald.
Yeah.
Brother
Friend of the
Kevin.
Show.
Yeah.
Hey.
And Steve. Then
Steve McDonald. Please bring back the sausage, Trevison, egg and cheese bagel. Oh, mate, that's the end of the podcast. Been a good podcast. We've managed to ring an hour and a few minutes out of it without two other guests, so I think we've done well there. I'm off for a long lie down, or we might be able to, me and Dan might go and play some FIFA Pro Clubs now. It's been a while, hasn't it, mate?
Been a while. We'll get back on it. Get up the divisions.
Yeah, we flutter between Div 4 and Div 6, which probably shows we're a lot better at podcast hosting than we are at playing football, and even then I'm not so sure. But Dave, where can people find you? Should they wish to follow you, mate?
Yeah, it's at Dave as a Party on Twitter and Instagram, and obviously LinkedIn if you want to get involved.
Wonderful. I am M Cooper Writes on Twitter, Matt Cooper Bites on Twitter, and all of our social channels, and got some interesting news coming this week, so keep your eyes peeled for that. We are Talking Wolves across all social media platforms, and of course, please don't forget the BetMate Pot for Saturday. Free to enter. Your chance to win a share of £50 in free bets using pot code TW3. That's TW-3. And please gamble aware. And until next time, take care. Hopefully another Wolves win. Let's build on last weekend. But yeah, until next time, look after yourselves and take care.